My name is Josie. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, John, for asking me to share. My first time at this meeting. I'm a little nervous about it. Congratulations, everyone. Shelly, awesome. 90 days, right on. So, 10 minutes is such an awkward time. Let me just, I guess I'll just start. I had, welcome to the newcomers. You know, I was a newcomer for years. I struggled so much in this program, right? 2002, I got my first AA meeting, you know, treatments and stuff like that. I was a treatment, the poster child for AA, right? I'd go to treatment, you know, get all this information and stuff like that. I'd leave treatment and I'd relapse. I'd use a drink, whatever. For years, since 2002 to my sobriety date is October 29th, 2007. So for years, I was in and out of the program. I just couldn't get it. I couldn't stay sober. You know, I'd go to meetings, and I hear people talking about stuff. You know what I mean? I hear, you know, the drama and all this stuff. You know, the things that I did, and I would leave the meetings, and I'd go get loaded, right? I'd leave the meetings, get loaded, and me and my sponsor would sit down and read the book, and you know, I'd read it, and it was just, you know, just words on pages, and I didn't understand it, and I'd get like 30 days, you know, 60 days to go back out, and people would just tell me, you know, well, you should have called your sponsor. I'm like, well, thanks. The gift I gave my sponsors and all that time was that they couldn't keep no one sober, right? I got them closer to God because they were praying for me, right? And today with the people I work with, because, you know, with my history, I get the people. I get those people who can't get sober. You know what I mean? I get them. And I work with them, and I have a lot of experience with relapse, and all those excuses and all that BS, you know, that comes into play. Every excuse in the book, you know what I mean? My shoelace, whatever it is, I used them all, right? And the drama on the outside. I would go into meetings and I'd hear all this drama, and I didn't even know what my problem was. I'd go into meetings and I thought all the problems are on the outside. You know, it was about fixing all this stuff on the outside. If I could just get the relationship fixed, if I could just get this stuff fixed, you know what I mean? Everything would be okay. I had an idea of what my life was supposed to look like, and if I could just get my life to look that way, everything would be okay. But I could never get there. I couldn't be the brother I needed to be. I couldn't be the son I needed to be. I couldn't be the damn AA member I needed to be, right? Because I couldn't even stay sober. So I didn't have the power to get there, right? So here I am sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in these meetings, not knowing what my damn problem is. I had no idea. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the way I went through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is I took statements and turned them into questions, and that's how my sponsor took me through it. And this is how I had an experience with the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it turned all that black and white writing into complete color, like high def, I swear. Upgrade. It was so important to me because I didn't get it. I just couldn't get it. And I'd hear the people talking. I'd hear them talking, and they weren't talking to me. You know, it was just a bunch of put it in a box and ship it out. It was a bunch of crap. You know what I mean? It was just a bunch of crap. Everyone was saying the same thing, and it meant nothing to me. You know what I mean? It just meant nothing to me. And I needed to have a personal experience with the book and my own experience to find out my own truth. And you know, the truth will set you free. The truth has been within for me. So I went through this book. And if you're a newcomer and you're struggling, you know, I hear you. And I hear you, you know. And this disease will kill you. And this is life or death. And I joke about this stuff, and I have a lot of fun in this program, but this is life or death. And I had to see, you know, I lived that death, you know, spiritual death. You know what I mean? I wish I was dead a lot of the time. Death would have been a little bit better. So I get into this program and I see, you know, it wasn't the result of my drinking and my using and all this stuff and all this drama on the outside. That didn't make me an alcoholic. The book took me inside, and I started to see that, you know, this physical allergy that they're talking about is inside. Because there's women, you know, there's women in Rancho Santa Fe who never leave the house. They don't have the drama that I had in my life. So I couldn't base my being an alcoholic on the drama out here. You know what I mean? It was about powerlessness. I was powerless physically, powerless mentally. I couldn't stay stopped, right? Powerless physically, I lost control. It was loss of control we were looking at. I lost control physically. I lost control mentally. I couldn't stay stopped. And then the spiritual loss of control. And I had no idea the book was talking about this. I had no idea that people were talking about this in the rooms. I just kept hearing, you know, keep coming back. You know, think the drink through. Think the drink through. Are you kidding me? I thought it through. I thought of the consequences as I was going to get the stuff. You know what I mean? I thought of the consequences, and I watched them happen as I was getting loaded. You know what I mean? It just didn't work. Cunning, baffling, and powerful. It has been so cunning that it always takes me back there. Baffling, because once I'm there, I'm baffled. And more powerful, and more powerful than anything I could bring into mind to deter me from going back. You know? More powerful than any thought, any thinking, any sponsor. And, you know, I get into the rooms and I don't live in the obsession, right? I don't live every day in the obsession. But I would stay here for 30 days, 60 days, and that obsession would come back. So then the question was, well, what's driving this obsession? You know, and then we looked at the spiritual malady and all this stuff. And I had to see the depths. You know, I don't understand people that just get into the rooms and, you know, that's your first step. You know, oh, you lived it, you know. The drama that you had, that's enough. You know what I mean? It wasn't enough for me. I had to see more. I had to see the depths to concede to my innermost self. You know, the book talks about innermost self. I had to see it to the depths that I know that I'm alcoholic, right? That I'm alcoholic, and I know this spiritual malady, this physical, you know, powerlessness, mental power, see the insanity. If I don't see the insanity in the first step that I needed to see, what the hell am I going to do with the rest of the steps? I'm not going to go for power. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go for it. I can just fix myself, right? This is a great delusion, right? So, you know, I had to see that, and then I go into step two, I go for power, you know, I make this decision, and I was totally unwilling. Yeah. I would tell you I was willing. This is the trick. I would come into the rooms, I was such a good newcomer. I was so full of shit. Excuse my language. I was so full of shit. I would come in here 30 days and 60 days and tell you the spiritual experience I was having. I hadn't done none of the steps yet, right? I hadn't even worked a step. I just sitting in meetings, I'm hearing people. I have a way of knowing how to speak and how to think and how to act in this program, and that will kill me because it's not my reality. You know, I need to have an experience with this power. It's not just about belief. It's not just thinking about God and just this thought of, yeah, you know, I have this old idea that I used to have it as a kid, and that's sufficient enough. It is to make a beginning, but this is why I work the rest of the steps. And as I work the rest of the steps, I need to get access to this power, right? And I get access through 4 through 9, right? If I don't see every step that I've worked has been based on this first step, not about the step before. If I'm not willing to make amends, it's because maybe I haven't seen the truth in my first step. And this decision, these options on page 44, it talks about, you know, a spiritual life or an alcoholic death. I had to get in here, and those were my only two options. There's no virtue of mine than why I'm an Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, this was not my plan. Like, you know what I mean? Hello? Like, this was not my plan. I did not have this plan, and I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to be, you know? And I choose to do the work in this program because I know I have lost choice. Because I don't have a choice. Because it has come to that. And those are my only two options. Is a spiritual life or an alcoholic death. You know, and what's it going to be? And you always hear people say, oh, only an alcoholic would think about it. And it's true. You know, only an alcoholic would think about it. You know what I mean? And it's like, I still have this idea that I can still fix myself and still run this. And the insanity is that everything in my first step has gotten me to the place. It got me to the place of just opening my heart up just enough to be willing to believe in something, that there is something. Not to believe in yet, but that there is just something there. And then the process of the steps gets me that relationship. You know what I mean? 4 through 9, I didn't know I was blocked. The book talks about being blocked from this power, right? I need this power, but I'm blocked from this power. I don't get access to the power until step 7. And step 9, I have this relationship in step 7. And then step 9, you know, I'm actually experiencing this power. I didn't know I was blocked until I got unblocked. And then when I got unblocked, I knew what they meant by being blocked. And if I can get blocked, if I had been blocked and got unblocked, don't you think you can get blocked again? And it's been my experience. That's why I keep going over the steps. And, you know, I wanted to talk. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. But the 9th step, you know, the promises in the 9th step. I had experienced those before when I get loaded. Because when I got loaded and the drugs and the alcohol were working, they took away the fear. You know what I mean? On page 52, the bedevilment. It took away the fear, you know. My relationships were better because I didn't care. You know, and they might not have been good for you if you were in one with me. But they were fine with me, you know what I mean? It was fine with me. I'll just move on. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I had a feeling of usefulness, you know, because project, whatever it's doing. I didn't need to make a living because it was my life, you know what I mean? And just as that was my life then, my life has been AA today, you know what I mean? New in the program, everything has been programmed. I had to do it all. You know, my life is Alcoholics Anonymous. But I experienced those 9-step promises, you know what I mean, when the drugs and the alcohol were working. But the 10-step promises now, I didn't think anything would take away that obsession. Like, that obsession that kept coming back and kept taking me back out there, I didn't think nothing would take it away. And the process of the steps has just been so amazing. And is that for me? Okay. Is that 1 minute or is that like done? Oh, done. Okay. 10 minutes is such an awkward time. But it's just amazing. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're here and you know you're battling with this obsession, you know what I mean? Work the steps, you know, and life does get better. You know, life does get better. Thank you.